The Education Minister, as we know, has come under intense criticism for the handling of the reopening of special education classes. A number of political parties have now called on the Taoiseach himself to intervene, insisting that Norma Foley doesn't have a handle on the issue. The planned reopening of special education classes today, as you know, has been deferred after disagreement with teacher unions and a very public row which is ongoing between the government and the teaching unions. So the blame game very much underway. But as far as parent Faye Hayden was concerned on our show yesterday, a parent of a 12-year-old boy with special needs, it is the children themselves who are ultimately losing out.
This is just the same as happens all the time now, and that is children with disabilities are an afterthought. It's a case of, okay, the schools are closing. Oh, hang on a minute, what did we do about the children? It's escalated and it's just become this horrible fight and bitterness that the government are allowing to happen between parents and the teaching staff, and that's really wrong because it's damaging extremely important relationships.
On the line is Áine McGinley, Áine of the Irish National Teachers Organisation. She is representing District 3, which is the Sligo Leitrim Donegal district. She's a member of the Central Executive Committee of the INTO. Áine, thanks for joining us and good morning to you.
Good morning, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
This is some mess, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is very unfortunate. I heard the interview with the parent yesterday online, and I have to say, It is a very difficult situation. What hasn't helped here is the minister making announcements when she hasn't consulted with those of us who are to implement her decisions. As a former teacher herself, really, she should understand what works and what doesn't work in a school environment. And first and foremost, our teachers do want to be in front of their school, in front of their classes, rather than teach remotely. We would much rather be doing it face-to-face. I'm a teacher in a special class myself, and I fully understand the concerns that the teachers have. But I do feel, in fairness, that the children with special needs are being used as a pawn by the government. And this is a very difficult situation for the parents of the children with special needs, for us teachers and for the children themselves. And INTO have always said that we'd work in line with the NEFID advice.
Yeah, but are you working in line with NEFID advice? The NEFID advice, is it not, is that schools are safe at the current
advice is that schools are safe for children. And in their webinar on Monday, we were told that the new virus is hitting 20 to 50-year-olds, which is why the teachers are fearful. They also told us in the webinar on Monday that community transmission is high and this will show in schools. And we're always made aware on the news every day with this new, the UK variant, that more people are asymptomatic and we could be spreading it without knowing about it. I mean, we absolutely appreciate the needs of children with special educational needs. As I said, I'm a special class teacher myself. We've always had to find innovative ways to support those children, and we've been upskilling. I mean, in fairness, the last time in the last lockdown, we weren't prepared, but nobody was prepared for it. We were told that day that we were going to close the schools and they'd be closed for 2 weeks. Nobody knew it was going to continue as long as it did. But schools are much better prepared this time for the school closure. Mm. I mean, it is important, I suppose, too, to also note that schools are fielding the blame for the lack of support services out there for parents of children with special educational needs, and that is a serious failure of the government.
Okay, but are teachers the only profession who have bailed out in this case? I mean, we don't have nurses or doctors saying they're not going back to work, or we don't have those who work in shops or collect refuse. They're all risking their health as well out working.
They are, absolutely.
So why should it be different for teachers?
Well, the doctors and nurses are working in a life and death situation, and we absolutely take our hat off to the doctors and nurses. They're in a hugely difficult position, but they absolutely do have PPE gear. The people working in shops, we're thankful for them for doing it because people need their essential products. But every time we hear the news, we're told to stay at home and work from home if possible. The teachers are working from home. That is exactly what we have been doing. And we're trying to protect the most vulnerable. I mean, the fact that it's the most vulnerable children that have been asked to come into schools beggars belief in itself. But at the end of the day, like, we want to be in schools. We want to be teaching. It'll be much more normal for us. It's a normal environment for the children if they're in schools in a normal environment. But this situation is far from a normal situation.
Okay. Well, so from what you're saying, I think we can take it that it's not looking like schools are going to open up at all in the near future because of the non-cooperation of teachers.
But it's not non-cooperation of teachers. We're going with the NEFID advice. The NEFID advice has said that this virus is hitting 20 to 50-year-olds. But at the end of the day, the unions are back in talks with the government today. We want to be back in school, but we have to do it in a manner in which is safe for the teachers and safe for the children, safe for the SNA, safe for all of the people involved. And I mean, the government can say that this is, and this is what they've been bandied about in the media by the government, which is also very unhelpful, is the fact that this is affecting small numbers of children. Well, actually, when you read the guidelines, it's not necessarily small numbers of children. It's the Children on School Support Plus, which are supposed to have the support of outside agencies, which currently they don't have. And that's a fault of the government. And it's children with that normally get additional literacy support and numeracy support who are being supported online. And then vulnerable children. We could have had 60 or 70 children in my own school coming in from today. That's not small numbers of children. But again, it's the children that have been left in the middle
of it. Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, you've heard that parent of the boy with special needs on yesterday. We've had a Leaving Cert student on today. They are absolutely incredibly frustrated by all of this and this unseemly row between the teacher unions and the government. And they're caught in the middle of all this.
I fully understand that. And as I said at the start, what is unhelpful here is the minister making announcements without having consulted with anybody. And she shouldn't be getting people's hopes up unless she's consulted with the people that are supposed to implement her plans. At the end of the day, this is a coronavirus. It's taking people's lives daily. The numbers are escalating. And it, as we said, if this virus is in the community, then it's going to show in schools. We have to keep people safe.
Okay, there is a suggestion, at least from the minister herself, that your general secretary, John Boyle, indicated to his members, the teachers, that they shouldn't turn up for work today.
That was absolutely never said. And I'm on the executive myself, and it will be up to the executive to issue a directive, and that certainly never happened.
Suggestion from a leader...
one teacher who would have been expected to be in school today, and I was certainly never told not to go into school today. That's absolute nonsense.
Okay. This suggestion from one listener, which I'll put to you on, it's plain and simple. If teachers don't go back to work, they should be put on the pup payment. The government need to let the intransigent unions know that the government runs the country and not militant unions. How would you respond to that?
Well, what I would say to that is people who are on the pup are people who are not working, and teachers absolutely are working. They're working longer hours now than they ever did, trying to make sure that online teaching works. And for those people, by the way, who cannot work online, and I appreciate that there are many of those people, and many of those people are children with special needs, they are supported by schools from having physical packs sent home or by phone calls from their class teachers. But people who are on the pup payment or people who are not able to work at the current climate, teachers are working.
Okay. Do you think, and it's still ongoing as we know, do you think that because of what's happened that the reputation and the respect that teachers are held in has been damaged by all this?
Well, I would certainly hope not, to be honest. I mean, teachers are central to every part of the community, as are our schools, and I would certainly hope that the government wouldn't get away with blaming teachers for their inconsistencies and what the problems that they have caused for parents and for teachers alike. I mean, at the end of the day, to show, I suppose, that reputation shouldn't be damaged. We're back in talks today. The INTO are back in talks, and FORSA, actually, who represent the SNAs and the caretakers and the secretaries, are back in talks today to try and resolve this issue. As I said, we want to be back in schools, but only when it is safe, and it's safe for all, children and staff alike.
Okay, just a final question on you. It is reported today that one of your, I won't say demands, but one of your requests of government is that teachers should be moved up the list for vaccinations if they were to return to classrooms. Is that true or not, or can you comment on that?
No, that is absolutely true. We've asked that we would be moved up in line with frontline workers, because if we're being classed as frontline workers for everything else, then we should be classed as frontline workers for... Now, that is not to say that we won't go back into school until we have been vaccinated. That's a totally separate issue, but we wanted to say that, yes, teachers that are working with the children, with the most vulnerable children, should be vaccinated. But it's not to say that we won't be back in schools before we're vaccinated, but just to have something in writing. It was agreed by verbally, I believe, but nothing has been put in writing.